Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, it's getting pretty late.
Concussed right on day one. We're down a member.
You guys are in for it.
This is the best idea.
Dora, do you want to sleep in the bed with me tonight?
Digestible bites.
Hey.
So damn.
Oh, damn. Shit, sorry.
There's two bites down.
Oh, she's interested.
Remember when we turned you into a turtle?
Red, oh my god.
There's all sorts of awkward conversations you could have with Jack.
So clear that this has been bothering you.
Don't throw that decision on me. You. I don't want to know.
I guess water always needs to keep moving. Lest it become stagnant.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is season 2, episode 88, Out of Step.
MVP this week is Campania from our Discord. I don't know why I'm doing the red voice. Campania is listening to Dice Shame, and they're at episode 45. You'll be here pretty soon. Thanks so much for listening. We're excited for you to catch up.
All right, shall we do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo! The Dwarven Party is in full swing, and in the middle of the street, we have Doran, Red, Mari, and Jack. The four of you are sat down at a pie-eating competition. Things are just about to kick off. This pie smells good, but looks kind of weird.
What the hell is this?
Well, if you guys are lucky.
What's a pie?
And he takes a deep whiff. I think it might be... Oh, it's Berry of the Deep Pie. You guys are in for it. This is some of the most tart yet sweet flavors you'll ever get into a pie.
It sounds very prairie oyster to me. I'm not sure I'm interested.
The pie commissioner clears his throat and the crowd falls silent.
As it is with every pie eating competition, the rules are the same. You must eat the pie without use of utensil or hand. And to be considered eaten, the pie must be gone altogether from the plate, the mouth, and the face.
Mm-hmm.
You all must in agreement.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I'm in. Oh, wait, I'm
Yes.
Oh, my mouth is watering.
What's the flavor? Oh, right.
The flavor is Berry of the Deep.
Ooh, that sounds ominous.
On the count of three. One, two, a three.
When in Rome.
Red throws his head down on the table so hard, he like
oh, no.
knocks himself
Concussed
out.
Right on day one, we're down a member.
Mari's pie jumps.
And you just hear Red like snoring into the pie as he's like knocked himself completely out for a second.
Very good, very good.
There goes our advantage. Now with the...
Anyone else have any strategies?
Digestible bites.
Okay. Jack, you're not at all taking this competition seriously.
Well...
You'll be docked style points for that. Mari?
Sorry, I'm just picturing just Red slamming his head into the table so hard.
And he's just snoring. He's like, and like pieces of like whipped cream are like flying out. His his like breath is just spraying them onto
bubbles.
You.
Yeah, she pulls his head up by the back of his head and pulls him up.
Oh God, what happened?
Pie eating contest.
Did we beat it?
No.
Oh God, and Red goes right back down with just as much force, but this time doesn't knock himself out and just starts devouring everything.
Very good. I was really hoping it'd be a round two.
Well, there's two bites down.
Doran, how do you fare in this pie eating competition?
Doran's like basically going at it from the side of the pie with his lower jaw like on the table. He's like moving into it.
Very good. Chopping. Pac-Man style, yes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Pac-Man style. Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah.
And I want to say, as we're eating this, what Berry of the Deep, like, it's not actually berries. It's got to be like some
poo.
Mix it's of like mushrooms. Roots.
It's. I feel like it's clams. Like they're
yeah.
clams.
Ew. Yeah.
It's clam good. Pie.
Clam pie.
Perfect. But it's still like fruity in flavor thanks yes. to some of the roots.
Well, that's
and
why
other...
it's called the Berry of the Deep. It's because it tastes
yeah.
kind of like
I
a blueberry,
it.
But it's...
I love it.
It's a shellfish.
Red is furiously just like, like pie getting everywhere, like very animalistic. And he like sits up and he's got like blood dripping down his forehead and like most of it's gone, but he's like crunching and blood's dripping from his mouth and he's like eating pieces of the plate that he broke when he headbutted it.
Oh,
and Red.
You look down and the plate and the food is like gone. He's like still, he's like crushing the glass. Like, I'm getting every piece of it, darn. We're gonna win this!
I feel like a gasp arises from the crowd.
Yeah, Mari at this point, she's been like eating it, and she's definitely not anywhere near as fur done as Red is. She sort of like,
oh no,
like started going, but the problem is like she's sort of like her hair is in her way, and she keeps like accidentally eating it and like spitting it out like
the
a
pie
cat.
Pie crust is all soggy
been, like,
and wet.
It's so damp. Everything's wet.
I hate to tell you. None of you are winners of this pie eating competition.
What? How?
Unfortunately. Well, there are 12 other dwarves that you're competing
yeah.
against.
Yeah, but did anyone else eat the plate?
I mean, the intimidation factor alone.
Red says, and like blood flecks the guy sitting across from him as he like spits that. Because mm-hmm. like his jaw is just
Red,
bleeding.
Oh my God. She's casting healing word on Red right now as he's doing
oh,
this.
I'm feeling so much better. Oh, that glass really gets in between the fangs.
I imagine there's like one dwarf with an exceptionally wide mouth and he's just like eating pie.
He's the pie guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that ringer. Everybody knows.
Was the pie commissioner the winner of last year? Is that what's going
That's
on?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Actually, once you win a pie eating competition, you are banned from participating in any future wow. pie eating competitions. It's a one and done situation.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, Doran looks down after finishing his first pie and he sees the wide mouth and he says, of course he's eating it quicker. He's an orange foot. Look at his mouth. You can tell.
And the dwarf just turns to you and gives you big thumbs up, mouth full of pie. It's an equal parts charming and humiliating event to be a part of.
Not for me. I feel good about that win. Wait, we didn't win?
We did not.
Certainly wants a change of clothes afterwards is what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
But it was a damn good pie. Next time, less glass is my recommendation, but I enjoyed the majority of it.
Yeah.
And Red just projectile vomits on the guy across from him. Like full scream right in the guy's face, like comical, clean,
nice.
Oval, just covering the guy.
Very good.
I'm so sorry. I am so embarrassed right now. Oh, I feel better, though.
Can we buy you a drink or something?
It's like drinking in reverse.
Doran gets up and shuffles away from the table.
Red stands up, knocking his chair over. More pie, please!
Pies are served. Alcohol follows the pies, and the tables are removed, the party resuming apace. With the end of the pie-eating competition, the raucous dwarven jig that was... merrily accompanying you drops out.
The pie march.
The pie jig. And a slow song comes on. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's a dwarven slow jam. And some people take that as their cue to make space for other dancers and pour themselves an extra glass of grog or ale. Some people find their sweethearts and take to the dance floor. And Mari, as you're wringing pie out of your hair, someone taps you on the shoulder.
Huh?
And Alistair is standing there.
Sorry, Mari. I mean, I didn't mean sorry. Would you like to dance with me?
And I think because she's had like a couple of drinks and she's feeling pretty chill and like, you know, we've been through a lot. She's like, yeah, yeah, let's go out to the dance floor. But don't get handsy.
No, promise. Absolutely. I've seen what you can do on the battlefield.
And he leads the way out onto this dance floor. It's a beautiful scene, really. There are like these lanterns that have been strung across the street. The brazier fire is casting this lovely glow. The music is nice. Everyone's feeling a little bit of alcohol burning in their stomachs. And Alistair takes you in his arms, Mari, and the two of you start to dance.
Is he a good dancer?
He's not.
He sort of doesn't have his feet. It's almost like he's in a different body or something.
You can kind of tell that he's still not really used to these limbs. It's only been a little while.
Yeah, and Mari sort of notices that his footsteps are awkward. Mm-hmm. He's sort of trying to... He's doing that thing that, like, a really new, like, pairs dancer would do, where you're really careful of, like, where your foot goes so it doesn't crush the other person.
Oh, he's being very careful.
It's funny to her. Like, it's funny in sort of like a nice way. And she's like, here, let me show you. And she starts to sort of like try to lead him a bit, because back when she was younger, she learned how to dance a bit. So she starts trying to like lead him a little more so that there's a more sort of natural rhythm.
Okay. I think I can get this. Hold on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh God.
You just have to sort of trust where your feet are falling. You have to sort of feel your body and just, you know, allow it to guide you and allow your partner to sort of work with you as well.
I feel like, Mari, you're looking down at both of your feet, sort of making sure that he's, like, understanding where they go and that you're not going to get stepped on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look up and you realize that he's been looking at you this whole time. And he says,
I wanted to, I guess, apologize for maybe coming on a little bit strong back there earlier. Some of the things I said probably took you off guard, and wasn't fair to say that stuff in front of other people. It probably put you on the spot in a way. I don't really know you that well either. I mean... That is to say, when you brought me back, you admitted that you didn't know me very well, and that's totally fair.
Well, I mean, I don't even know how well these guys know me either, but there's always time.
Yeah, for sure. Can I ask you a weird question?
Sure.
I've been alive a long time. I don't know if you're aware, but I'm three times as old as Doran. Have you ever been in love with somebody?
And this sort of little smile kind of creeps under her face, and she's looking around and she's sort of taking in the crowd and taking in the soft light of the braziers and the little candles that are everywhere, and is just thinking for a moment. You can see she's just trying to sort of pick through how she's going to answer this question. And she keeps sort of like leading Alistair through these steps. And she goes, I'm definitely not as old as you are, and not even as old as Doran. But I feel like I've lived a lot of lives in the past year or so since I left home. And you know, I've dated, I've had some partners in my time, but, you know, it was easy for me to walk away. Or it wasn't easy, but I didn't have anyone holding me there in that way. And I set out, and somewhere along the way, I met someone. And They were wonderful. And I had been moving for so long, and I finally just stopped for a bit because it felt like a place to rest. And I don't know, I felt like I'd found another home. And I did love them. I still love them. And I knew, though, that I had to keep moving, that I had to keep on this path for myself, for all these things I need to deal with. No one can fix you. In the end, you're the only person who can make yourself whole again, who can bring yourself back together. But oh, I really thought I would stay, but in a weird way, I guess water always needs to keep moving, lest it becomes stagnant.
Sounds like you need to do some work on yourself. And I think it's hard to be in a relationship when you gotta focus on you.
Yeah, but man, have to admit, when you got big, reminded me a lot of them.
Mari, do you think that you could ever love me? It's not a trick question. I want to know if I'm wasting my time.
She goes and she spins Alistair and like brings him back. And she goes, I don't know. Do you think you could get big and stay big the whole time?
I honestly don't know, but I can find out. How many walls can you fall off of in a day?
And then he spins you in response, which is far more awkward because you're like 2 feet taller than him.
And she's a little drunk, so she stumbles everywhere and then slams into another dancer.
Whoa, careful there.
Alistair, I had to keep moving before, and I'm going to keep moving again.
I'm moving too, you know? Maybe you just never had someone who needed to change as badly as you did.
I don't know, Alistair.
I just wanted to, I've had a few, but I just wanted to talk to you again about this and to let you know that I think you're pretty wonderful. I think you're probably just about the most beautiful creature I've ever seen.
Well, thank you. And you're quite lovely yourself as well, Alistair. You have definitely come in clutch here.
The song ends, and the two of you are standing there, still in each other's arms, and he awkwardly sort of detaches from you, and he's like...
Well, thank you. Anyway.
Dorne, like, abruptly enters the conversation, grabs Alistair by the shoulders, kind of standing behind him, and he says, Do you see her over there? Alistair?
What?
Look.
What?
She's like trying to track me down. Oh, she's interested.
Red comes over his other shoulder, just creeps in through people.
Her name is Grublin.
Look at the complexion of her skin. It's all mottled gray like yours.
And she's real sweet.
Yeah.
She's really nice, and she's looking for a warm bum tonight.
Guys.
Or a cold. We don't know what blood temperature you have.
I'm not into one-night stands.
Oh, no. She wants to get married.
Even worse.
But, and Doran, like, kind of looks anxiously and then scoots away looking for somewhere else to hide.
Red follows Doran.
Doran, wait up!
Keep me hidden, Red.
Anyway, thanks for the dance.
Well, thank you. And she gives like a sort of overly flared bow.
Yeah. Alistair bows back even stupider.
And I'm gonna go get a drink and make sure that Red doesn't eat any more glass.
It's a real challenge some nights.
Just give it to me. I don't need any liquid in it.
Oh, silicon deficient. He's gonna eat more glass.
Meanwhile, Red and Jack are at the bar. At one of the many bars outside of these houses, I kind of imagine there's like tables out front, you know what I mean? With like drinks and like the equivalent of dwarven solo cups, you know?
Listen, I think people have these like front yards, these like postage stamp front yards that they're basically opened up to the public. So like patio furniture is being used by people like sit out on and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very communal.
And Red's sipping away at something. He's like, it always reminds me of that fireberry wine, was it, that you had? Some elvish thingy in Silvery Moon we had.
Is it the stuff Torin gave me?
Oh, right. The cork that he,
Yeah.
The corkscrew that I, yeah.
Oh, and he was in Silvery Moon, too, at Mom's house.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Say, there's a lot of handsome men around here.
I mean, sure. You know,
That Mugduel.
I mean, the cooking was phenomenal.
Yeah, and you'd want that in a partner.
Would you?
Well, not me.
Oh.
I'd just be like, globally, you know, you'd probably want some... I mean, not you. I don't know what you'd want in a partner, but, you know. Yeah, it's getting pretty late.
Yeah, I might go head back to Doreen's, I guess we're staying tonight.
Yeah.
I'll catch
probably.
Up with you guys.
That's a good call.
Don't eat too much glass.
Oh, I won't. No, absolutely.
No, I just want you to think forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, it always hurts coming out more.
Inevitable
than it goes
conclusion.
In.
That's. I just want to put that in your.
It's not the first time I've eaten glass.
Well, you do you, my friend.
Doran's over there. Bye. Red walks over to Doran. Oh, I just had that most awkward conversation with Jack. I just put my foot right in it.
Why? What happened?
Oh,
there's all sorts of awkward conversations you can have with Jack. Doran's kind of feeling...
That's kind of fair right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of awkwardness going on with him, with his magic and with Torin and that letter thing, and I don't know, I just...
Oh my god. What are we gonna do about Jack's magic? Doran's like starting to get drunk and like everything is lifted off his shoulders. He's just like kind of on seventh heaven.
You know what, Doran? Give me some of that. I don't want to think either. And Red drinks whatever you're drinking. He's like,
here.
That's strong.
Enjoy this.
What is that? Fire?
I distilled all the water out of it.
Oh, god damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, yeah. Doran, you deserve to turn your brain off, as do I. Remember when we turned you into a turtle?
No.
Turtle Doran. Remember that big party in the Druid Forest with Kraloth?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Kraloth.
Kraloth.
It doesn't matter. Look, tonight's about drinking, having fun, partying down, and finding somebody to turn you into a turtle. I wonder if Mari can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe someone could turn me into a turtle tonight so I can avoid that Grublin. Oh my god, she's still looking for me. Look, she's over
maybe
there.
Maybe we turn Grublin into a turtle.
Hey.
Mari's like overhearing with the magics in her hand. She's like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna turn him into a turtle.
Yeah, you should turn him into a turtle.
I gotta turn someone into a turtle. The night gets very, very late. It takes a long time for the streets to empty. These strains of dwarven music get more and more distant as people wind their ways home. A couple of dwarves are passed out underneath lawn chairs, or the dwarven equivalent of lawn chairs. We see Red and Alistair singing on their way back to Doreen's place.
Turtle Doreen, Turtle Doreen, Turtle Doreen,
Turtle Doreen. Turtle Doreen, hooray, Mari's got, is holding a turtle over her head.
Turtle Doreen, like, Turtle yeah. Doreen.
The turtle's arms are slowly moving in sort of a hurrah.
This is the best idea.
Red opens the door and it falls off its burnt hinges. Oh, damn. Shit, sorry. Fuck. Everyone, let's be... Wait. Shh. I'm sure Doreen's up. She's a party animal. Not as animal as Doran is right now, admittedly, but still pretty party animal.
Doran, do you want me to turn you back?
He's clapping his beak thing.
So peaceful. Look at him.
You shake your head up and down or left and right.
He shakes his head up and down.
Up and right. He just goes up and right. There's no down or...
I forget what question I asked.
Doran, do you want to sleep in the bed with me tonight as a turtle?
And his head slowly moves up and down.
Perfect. Let's go.
And then it slowly moves left and right.
And Red and Mari and Turtle Doran and Alistair all start creeping into the front hall towards the bedrooms.
As you're walking through the like entryway, where there's a table there, and Jack's sitting at it with a mostly empty bottle and an ink and quill and trying to scribble. And there's like crumpled up paper all around him. And he's not quite asleep, but he is like got that one sleepy eye looking at the paper, staring daggers at it. And there's splattered ink everywhere.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Jack, we didn't see you there.
No, it's okay. I'm still up. You don't need to be quiet on my account. And Doreen's assured me her room is nearly soundproof. So party all night.
I'm going to go put Turtle Doran to sleep.
Okay, good night.
Shamari scampers off.
This is a terrible time to ask. Can you have a look at this?
Me?
Yeah.
Sure. And Red, like, watches Mari and Turtle Doran and Alistair head off to bed. Good night. Good night. And then he turns towards Jack. And Red walks over. You look so menacing sitting here in the dark with an empty bottle.
Jack just slides a piece of paper over to you. And it looks like a letter in Jack's handwriting, maybe a little sloppy because he's had a bit to drink. And then you see Jack like close his eyes and turn away, and the letters on the page all start to move around and mix. And suddenly you've got Torin's neat handwriting, and where there were spaces or gaps in that letter before, there's big red, angry scratches on the page, so that the letter now reads, "Dear Robin, thank you so much for listening to me share my true feelings about Jack. I so appreciate your candor. It's a relief to know that someone else feels the same way about that useless man. I mean, I feel like I've wasted so much of my life with him. I don't understand how it happened. I'm not even sure I ever liked him. He's hard to relate to. He never had friends. And when he was introduced me to someone, usually it's the same sort of people for which a good conversation involves something boring like dirt or books. The closest he's ever come to a friend was a horrible mage, Dazan. Can you believe he's still corresponding with him on a regular basis? It's stuff like that that really proves that old saying, right? An illusionist breathes lies like air. Hearing you share that sentiment in the truest sense of the word has really helped me clarify something I've been struggling with. And I suppose this is all to echo what you were telling me. Adventuring's dangerous, so if our friend doesn't make it back to Waterdeep, I wouldn't miss him, and neither would you. Especially now that I've got his dad's name and finances supporting the Copper Cup, I don't really need Jack around anymore. He'd just complicate things. Considered hiring a contractor to take care of him for me, and I wouldn't want to impose on you because I know your relationship with the Dark Tide has changed recently, but when it comes to this sort of thing, I don't really know what to do. I'm torn up. I feel like he's put a spell on me and forced me to love him. He's messed with my heart, and now I'm finally seeing clearly. Is there sufficient punishment for someone who tricks you into loving them? I don't even know. I hope it's okay to write this. I'm sure he'll find this letter. Not that it'll matter for long. I'm sorry you have to put up with him. I just want out of this awkward position with Jack."
And Red, holding this letter, admittedly struggling to read it in the dim, drunken light, is just slackjaw. His eyes flicker back up to Jack sitting in the chair. "Oh, God, Jack.
Listen, I know. Like, I don't... When I look at what that says, I don't really think those things, but there's some dark part of my mind that sees all those spaces and just fills it in with the worst possible imaginings, you know?"
Jack. And Red, like, pulls over a footstool and sits, so they're kind of at eye level. None of this is
true. Torin would never ask any of this. Torin cares about you, Jack. He does. Look, the letter he sent. I gave B some advice when she was dealing with her relationship with Orin. You know, Orin was infatuated with her, and she cared for him. But she knew that she wanted more out of life, and I said something that made her feel like I knew what I was talking about, which, you know, I didn't.
But you're her dad, and she crossed the world to come and get advice from you, and Torin's a man I've been dating for 10 years, and you're a person he's met 3 times, and I'd have thought if there was something like that he had to say or we should talk about, we'd be able to talk about it and not, you know, hear through.
I think Torrin is trying to find maybe somebody who doesn't have the connections that you do have, that you two have. Sorry, I'm a little tipsy. Somebody, you know, that maybe doesn't have the emotional connection, the pull over each other, to just bounce ideas off of. And Jack, that's all it was. Torrin, he's afraid, you know?
It's totally fair. He can talk to whoever he wants. There's no reason he can't. Like, he should absolutely have a reasonable expectation to privacy and to write letters to whoever he wants, and that's fine. Like, that's one of the reasons I've been awkward about it and trying to dance around it with you and whatever. It's fine. He should have someone to talk to if he needs someone to talk to, and I'm glad you were there for that.
Torrin is wondering if he should break up with you. And he wanted somebody to bounce ideas off of. Probably somebody that felt, you know, mixed feelings about you at times. I haven't sent anything back, you know, and I don't plan to. The same with B, you know, I wasn't there to guide a hand, and I think, look, you're right, I don't have experience with Torrin, but clearly B thought I said something right, because it was she that put Torrin onto the idea of bouncing ideas off me. I don't know what to say to him, honestly. When I read it, I kind of just shoved it in my bag and thought very little of it, because I figured in time the two of you would talk and sort things out, and maybe he just needed to put pen to paper the way you do sometimes, and once those feelings are out, then, you know, letting them grow allows you to figure out what you want. But I gotta say, your reaction to this, well, it gives me pause for thought on whether or not I should say something to him. You talk about letting him have friends and being okay with him talking to people, but it's so clear you're not. It's so clear that this has been bothering you immensely.
Well, no, hold on. I mean, I would hope... And Jack pauses for a drunken minute trying to find a word. I mean, what's on that page? I would hope that's some of the darkest parts of me. I hope it doesn't get worse, but I don't... That's not the best me, and so I hope that's not the standard by which you judge me from. And if it is, yeah, fine, whatever.
I'm not trying to judge you, Jack. I guess what I'm just trying to say is, how do you view the way your brain is filling in the blanks here? Do you think it's just magic? Do you think it's something within you that is so afraid to lose Torrin that you're inventing these fears? Is it something that has a power over you that might not be the best thing for you and Torrin, you know?
There's definitely magic changing the letters on the page, for sure. Are those thoughts I've thought when given a cursed letter with blanks in it and then blown my mind up? Yep, I did. I have thought all those things. But I don't. I mean, when it comes down to it, we're doing really important stuff, right? I used to think my work was really important. I used to really I still do. Recording down what's happened in the world and finding all these scraps of knowledge and writing that down, that's important. But what we're doing now, this ordaining thing, this, you know, even just Gredhog, we broke that dam down. That saved so many lives if you think about the downstream effects. Like, that's important on a level where I would sacrifice things to keep doing that. And I would, if it meant I couldn't be with Torrin, but I could keep doing that, balance of probabilities. Part of me wants to be a hero more than a good partner. And that is weird to grapple with.
I think a lot of what Torrin told me wasn't just issues he had with you since the ordaining, Jack.
perhaps there's a part of you that's clinging to Torin because it's a part of you you're not willing to let go of. Torin's issues with you that he wrote about in the letter started a little bit before the Ordning, Jack. You've always been a bit of a roamer, you know?
I'm not saying that's not true either. I just would have thought he'd have...
What would you like me to say, Jack, to Torin? Do you want me to write back to him and tell him that I'll stay out of it, or do you want me to tell him that he should stay with you?
Don't throw that decision on me. I don't want to know.
I just... Look, you're my friend first, and I wanted to respect Torin because I didn't know what to do. No one's trusted me with this kind of stuff before, and I don't know. I was torn. I asked Mari if I should tell you, and she said I should, and Doran too. I was the last holdout because I had some weird sick feeling like I should honor Torin more than you, but I don't get it. And I don't really get any of this, and I'm happy to do what you think is best. I do trust you. I you're smarter than me in this kind of
thing. The only thing I want to do is get back to him and talk about all the parts of him I value and all the ways he's enriched my life and made me stop and think about the things we're eating and the things we're seeing and the things that are happening now and not buried between pages and stained with ink and covered in dirt and the things that, you know, what... All the parts of life that are vibrant, that the colors he paints with, that's what I want to tell him. I want to show him that, but like, we're not done here yet.
I'm really glad that Torin has enriched your life, Jack. I am. How much do you think you've enriched his?
Well,
I don't have an answer for you. I'm just saying, I think that's what Torin's been struggling with. He knows how special he is to you. You've always made that clear. But I think he's looking to me to ask the question, how much does he get? And how much does he have to feel responsible for your happiness before he feels okay to step away? It's not your job. I know that. You know, he knows that.
I would tell him, Jack says, and takes another pull off the bottle and slides it over the table towards you. Can't get done here soon enough.
Sure, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And Red takes the bottle from Jack and slides it away from him. We should probably get to bed. I mean, you know, whatever you do. Staying awake and meditating and all that cool elven stuff.
We'll figure out what we're doing tomorrow. Yeah, it'll be all right.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Anyways, thanks for listening to me rant for a bit.
Anytime. It's what I'm good for. Ha ha. Red stands up, like pushes the stool back.
How's the tummy with the glass? Doing all right?
Oh, great. It's always the next day, as you said, aptly. But, you know, hurts going in and hurts going out. Like a relationship. Anyway, good night. And Red slinks upstairs.
The lights of Scarborough burn low, and the city slumbers.
Thank you to our wonderful patrons, Adam Fry, Afflicted Adina, Aizu Yukai, Allison Wright, Merlin, Anne, Atholagoth, Axel, Barry Jennett, Casey, Cecil Lee Wilson, Sherry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Daniel, Dippity, Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley, Harper the Mox, JD, Joy Robinson, Julie Holderman, Jury, KR, KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the left, Leader J, Liz, Lorelei Feldman, Manda Pants, Merrick Smoon, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Oakland, Quill Bennett, Regan, Ren, Scotty, Shannon Waldner, S-Ray 96, Tegan, Tea Kettle, Tony Pepperoni, Trin, Waffle 427, Xander Morning Dove, Zach House, and Zephyrus. Thank you so much! Woo!